Rojas. Tell me about yourself, the name of the project, your role in it, and what the objective is.
Okay, well, good. Well, I am Alex Rojas, and I am a brother in Christ. It took me a while to kind of get to that point where I've identified myself as a brother in Christ, and a large part of it was the journey that I was on, throughout my life. As a kid, was born into the faith of church and believed in God, but never really had a relationship with the Lord. And because of it, because of that, I had certain influences throughout my world, throughout my life, that that molded me to be somebody that probably was acceptable in today's society, but throughout time realized that there were certain moral values that were missing in my life, and was really heading down a path where I could have messed up my marriage, my family, and could have gotten myself into a lot of trouble. But by the grace of God, he got a hold of me, and I was able to really experience a real relationship with Jesus. And that it took me surrendering my life completely to Jesus, my heart, my life, and my will. And I think at that point, God essentially had a path for me that led to the start of a ministry, which is called Bros in Christ, which we started a couple of years ago. We're based out of Florida, and basically we're a faith-based fellowship that really ministers to men to help build the foundations of becoming a brother in Christ and understanding the principles and the foundations and the teachings and the wisdom of knowledge that God has to offer men.
Thank you, Alex. I was reading an article on Sunday. This article was written by Elena Massey, and the topic is about taking Christ out of Christianity, that some find belief in God not needed for religious life. So I'm curious, Alex, how brothers in Christ, for those who are taking a look at this article, like taking Christ out of Christianity, because a lot of people are searching, mm-hmm. Alex, and particularly, this is prime for other religions to really recruit individuals, if you will, because we have ISIS going on, and we have the police and community division and strife that's going on in this day and time, and I'm sure people are wondering, how can we make sense out of all of this, and where is God in all of this? And you talk about how you came to be that brother in Christ. So tell me more about Brothers in Christ, what that program is all about, and maybe it could help those who are searching.
Yeah,
in this
I think
time in their life.
Okay, yeah, I think it's that's absolutely right. I think there's a lot of times what we realize is you have men that are churchgoers, meaning they go to church, they clock in, they clock out, they go there for the experience, maybe they go there because that's what they've been accustomed to, and then they don't come back to the following Sunday, and they just compete, they go through this cycle. And so really what's missing is a deeper relationship with the Lord, a sense of connection that's lost among other men, among other people within the church community, and an opportunity to serve. And so I think that's one sort of type of guy that you would typically find. Then there's some that just haven't been to church and have this belief that, hey, I'm a believer, I believe in God, I believe in a heaven, but I don't read the Bible, and it's so overwhelming, and it's intimidating, and I can't memorize scripture. I don't even know what to say, and I don't even know how to properly say things. And so, essentially, the scripture that ties in as far as those men being babes that are drinking milk. And so, eventually, what we want to do is we want all men to get away from being babes, drinking milk, and really start eating solid food. And so, God's love and God's teachings and His wisdom, His knowledge is very simple, and we really take that simple approach. And so, and it starts off with Matthew 16:24, when Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And that's what we essentially are. We're following Jesus. We're following the example that He leaves for us. For discipleship, for strength, and for purity. And it's all found in His word, His teachings. And that's really what it all stems through. But now, one of the things that we do as a fellowship, a faith-based fellowship, we really just shepherd men, towards a life of truth and obedience and righteousness. And so what we do is what we've done is we've put together a workshop that's called the 12 Acts of Spiritual Renewal. And these 12 acts is essentially a journey that the men will take that will help them build the foundations and the principles of understanding God's word, how to apply it to their lives. So there's actually something tangible that they can actually apply to their lives. And at the same time, hold them to a higher standard of accountability, with other men, because for the most part, men tend to isolate. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring men together so that, hey, we can share our common struggles, our challenges. We don't have to be alone in it. And what you realize is a lot of men are going through a lot of the similar thing, whether it's marriage problems, trouble with work, financial problems, or just plain and simply just feel like they're getting beat down by the enemy, and they might be dealing with spiritual warfare, and they don't know how to do that. And really what we're trying to do is we're just really trying to equip men so that they can be educated Christians, and that they can be the priest of their home. They can really start, being the example that God has called all men to be in their homes, in their workplaces, their churches, their communities, and things like that.
Alex, you touched on a couple of key things there as you were talking, because I have a lot of women that come to me that are either they're the primary wage earner in their homes, or, they come from all walks of life, CEOs, executives, professionals, even to individuals that are, staff workers. And the most common thing they come to me about when we have a coaching session or a mentoring session is that, Deborah, I do all this great work, but yet my husband doesn't support me. And what do I do when he is not as spiritual as I am? Or when we started out in our relationship, our courtship, oh, he went to church with me, And that was the big, quote-unquote, determination of me saying, this is, I believe this is the guy that God has for me. But as soon as we get married, he stops going to church. Or I feel like it's almost as if he's asking me to choose between him and my faith. So, Alex, I would like to address that, because I was like, he may not be at that spiritual level that you are. There could be some things that, or you berating him or nagging him about going to church, because some men, I truly believe men relate to God and church differently than women.
Yes.
So, thoughts? Have the men talked about that in their session? I'm not asking you to divulge everything, but is that a topic that may come up?
Absolutely. I think the thing that we've noticed is that you get walks of all kinds of life here when we started doing these workshops and started getting men together, and really that's what it is gathering men together in a room and realize that they each have certain areas that they're very vulnerable to, and they feel very exposed to, and they're not really sure how to address it. And so again, we kind of take things back to sort of foundation pieces, because life gets so hectic and it moves so fast, and it's very easy to all of a sudden to go from, hey, I'm a praying man every day, to maybe I'm now just praying every couple days, or maybe now it's every few days, or maybe now it's every week, or maybe we won't go to church every Sunday, and every other couple weeks, and then it's once a month. And so that's why it's important that we really promote the power of brotherhood, of really just having men together, so that, you know, we can have church outside of church, right? Because a lot of times you get a pastor at a church will give you a certain amount of feeding, but it's what you do from Monday through Saturday that really kind of determines, you know, where your walk with the Lord is during that time. And so there are some things there that we, again, look into to really kind of help build those foundation pieces. And I think, you know, one of the things that I just recently wrote was a blog that talked about, you know, men when they kind of come together in these Christian men group sessions, whether it's a Bible study or a series that the church offers. You know, for the most part, you know, men are typically cautious when they walk into these groups. And again, it depends on the level of spiritual maturity and things like that. But a lot of men are just searching for answers. They're hoping maybe for some healing in their lives, or maybe you have some men that just want to share the simplicity of what God's wisdom and nature is. And the ultimate thing is that you know, these are men that are exposing sort of these human emotions, you know, during times like this, and they're vulnerable, and it's showing a level of intimacy and refuge. And so what we just say is, hey, just like in Matthew 18:20, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And so that's really what we always say, is every time we're together and we have two or more men, we're having church, essentially, you know. And that's the way that it sort of needs to you know, happen, as far as having that sort of perspective there. And so it takes a while for some guys to share feelings and emotions. You know, guards go up, defense mechanisms go up. But ultimately what we realize is that this becomes a heart issue for a man. And so we realize that we can only shepherd each other to a certain extent, but the great shepherd is the one who really truly ministers to the hearts of these men. And it's based on his teachings, his principles, his foundations, you know, his word in truth that he's laid out for us. And so it's really about, you know, allowing Jesus to truly minister into a man's heart, because only Jesus knows the depths, the hurts, the wounds, and the treasures of a man's soul. And, you know, what we say is, hey, the heart is the chamber that leads to the soul. And when we're talking about the soul, we're talking about the mind, you know, taking thoughts captive. We're talking about desires. We're talking about emotions. We're talking about free will, choices that you make. And so that's where, you know, that's where the truth lives and breathes every day, is in the heart. And so we realize the heart is also where the enemy attacks, where the enemy destroys and steals and torments. And so what we're trying to do is make men understand that if you're not protected by the Holy Spirit and you haven't been properly cleansed with the blood of Jesus, you know, really flowing through within you, then we just encourage men to make those decisions to say, you know what, I'm going to invite Jesus into my heart, and he may either perform some simple, delicate, or complicated heart surgery to bring restoration, healing, and freedom in my life. And that's where it really comes. It becomes a heart thing. And so we're constantly challenging these men to find out. And it really, the journey of the 12 acts of spiritual renewal deals extensively about, you know, the wounds of the heart, things that have happened in their lives, identifying these areas, but allowing, you know, God to really minister into their lives.
Alex, that's phenomenal. I am curious to know, in this day and time, in the 21st century, do you believe that God is moving us to pursue a life of holiness?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think now more than ever, we're living in an age right now where Christianity is under attack. And, being a Christian that's very vocal about your faith puts labels on you. And as men, we need to be able to stand out. You know, the Great Commission is for us to go out and to witness and to make disciples. And so that means if there's an opportunity to do it, you know, with coworkers, with neighbors, within the community, at your kids' events, at sporting events, things of that nature, it's really just putting yourself out there and being able to have good conversations and establish relationships with men and women, and see if there's an opportunity where the Lord is going to use you. To possibly witness to these people. And so whether you're bringing them to Christ as a born again, or whether you're just trying to encourage them to maybe, get back into it, get back into scripture, get back to church, get back into the word, get yourself into a men's group. God needs to use men to do that. And so there is a movement that absolutely is going on now. And I think the thing that's great about it is now, church is happening now on whether you're streaming online or whether your DVR is recording. There's so much information and media out there now that we have a really good opportunity here to really fill ourselves with so much knowledge here so that, again, we can become educated Christians out there. And it doesn't really matter what church or what affiliation or what religion you belong to or anything like that. We have all walks of life as all types of men from different backgrounds that come in here. And this is about, relationship with Christ and relationship with other men and leaning on men and kind of going down that trajectory.
Okay. And for our listening audience, when we're talking about pursuing a life of holiness, because we've heard of the Pentecostal movement, the Church of God in Christ, the Assembly of God, those church denominations, I've heard, people kind of tease them as being holy rollers, but I really want to define for our listening audience so they can have a clarity by what we mean by pursuing a life of holiness. And that is, God told his people to be holy because he's holy. And holiness is not just a concept reserved for the church saints, quote unquote. You can become holy, and there are a lot of ways we can find how to achieve that, but the first and foremost, the way that you can be holy is by having that relationship with Christ. And it's not that you're trying to be holy. You can never try to be holy, but you can become holy just through your relationship with him. And holiness is also, as you had mentioned, Alex, in your walk, your journey, that it's about that surrender, surrendering your total self. It's about there's so much teaching out here about self-help, self-improvement. I'm the responsible for my own life, which is true to a certain degree, but when it all comes down to the root core, that we are not independent of ourselves. Whether you want to say God, universe, spirit, what have you, there is a higher being. We do have a creator, and we are God's created beings. So we are spiritual beings first as we journey through this human life. So part of holiness that does come with the prayer and devotion, the humility of understanding that we are not a self-made person, but we take that time to recognize and revere God in his holiness, and
yes.
for the call that he has given us to be holy as he is holy, that does require obedience, and that
mm-hmm.
requires surrendering, being
yes.
committed to him, and as we develop that relationship. So, Alex, can you share with some of the principles? You said there are 12. Can you share with us some of those principles as we talk to, we have some time here, will some of the men focus on in this program that you take
yeah,
through?
Yeah, that's great. And so we essentially, the 12 acts of spiritual renewal is really broken down into three parts. The first part, Acts 1 through 4, really talks about redeeming the body that we live in, basically. And so really redeeming ourselves through the body of Christ. And so it really starts off from very basics, and like even from the very first act. The first act is recommitment. And so we say, how do you recommit every day, you know, to Jesus? You know, how do you recommit every day to God? And so we really challenge guys to say, hey, when you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the ground getting out of bed, how are you acknowledging? How are you picking up that cross and carrying it with you during that morning, during that day? What's the symbolism? What do you do? And for some guys, it's maybe there's a Bible that's rested on the nightstand you put your hand on. For Catholic guys, they might do the sign of the cross. For other guys, they might make their way into the bathroom and maybe read a devotional. And so really, we're trying to, you know, have men develop really, you know, an awareness to, hey, when my feet hit the ground, how am I recommitting? How often am I praying? Am I praying every morning, every night, and often in between? And so we really talk about prayer life, what that looks like, because even prayer life can look so complicated. It can be very simple. And so there's so many different ways throughout the day that you can pray, whether it's praying in your car, praying in the bathroom, in the shower, blessing your meals before food, praying with your spouse, praying with your kids. There's so many opportunities there. And so we just really provide, you know, insight as to really there's no excuse, you know, to incorporate prayer life into that. And so the first portion is really kind of, you know, hey, doing those, recommitting every day, and not only that, being able to look at your last 24 hours and say, you know, where have I repented? Where have I gone wrong? Where can I confess my sins? You know, whatever it may be. So kind of an accountability thing, because a lot of times, you know, men may do things that they're very shameful of, or put their head down, and that creates separation between Heavenly Father and the child. And so we need to make sure that we're constantly, we've already been forgiven, and so we're just merely confessing our sins because we know that we've been forgiven, and we're trying to get on the right course again. And so really just having men to be consciously aware of repenting, and not only that, after you repent, how are you receiving his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his promises that he's given you because through Christ. And so we talk about that. And so another portion is the fourth act is where we talk about rebuking, and we really dive into, you know, looking at your old man, your old self, your old nature, you know, all the things that how life used to be with you before you were born again. Before you decided to follow Christ, there's your old nature that still is a part of you, but God renewed you with a new spirit, a new mind, a new body. And so that is a new person because Christ now dwells in you because you've accepted Christ into your life. And so, but now there's a difference between accepting Christ into your life and having complete surrender. And so, you know, what we alluded to is complete surrender is the decisions that I'm making, whether they're work-related, whether we're family-related, dealing with our kids, dealing with vacations, whatever it may be, anxiety, stresses, things that happen in our lives, we really encourage guys to give that to the Lord, to continue using him for guidance. And so during that rebuking process, we really go and rebuke the old man, and we realize that over time, for the rest of our lives, the old man is always going to want to come out, and it's always going to want to come out in sin in our flesh. And so we really encourage guys, you know, to identify who that old person is and to be aware and to know that you've been identified with a new body in Christ. And so that's kind of the first section, and that's what we kind of call the appetizer portion of the program. And the second portion there, and I'll just quickly touch on it, really involves restoring the soul. And so we really go in, and men are encouraged to really go back and reflect on their lives, the good, the bad, the ugly throughout their lives, the influences, the things that have happened throughout their lives, and really being able to identify, you know, areas that's not, you know, things that aren't really taught too much in everyday Sunday church when we're dealing with generational curses, soul ties, things of that nature. But, you know, we may have a guy here who his son is an alcoholic, he's an alcoholic, his father is an alcoholic, his grandfather is an alcoholic. Is that a coincidence or is there perhaps a curse? Are you ready to break that curse in your family lineage? How will you do that? You know, there's certain things like that have to happen. And so we really just encourage men to just really, you know, draw the Lord to reveal truth about their lives, about family generational things, soul ties, unhealthy, ungodly soul tie connections that they've made, which is, you know, really bringing about, you know, adultery and fornication and relationships and things now that is running, you know, rampant, you know, throughout churches and throughout our community as well. So we kind of tackle those issues as well. And then we really, to kind of tie in that second portion of the 12 Acts, we really dig into what the Holy Spirit is and who he is. And a lot of times for a lot of men, it seems very mystical. And so we really educate men on, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is used as a comforter, as a helper, as a guider. And we're all filled with that Holy Spirit once we've accepted Jesus into our lives. But what happens is guys go astray, and then the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not there. And so they constantly need to be filled. We all need to be filled because we leak. And so it's just really tapping in and really being more consciously aware of how he's in you and how he guides you. And so there's a process that we really go through scripture, through prayer, of really encouraging men to fully take possession of the Holy Spirit and to live in the light and follow that light. So that's kind of the second portion, and that's kind of the meat. There's a lot of, we roll up our sleeves, and that's kind of the main course of the program. And then we get to the last four acts of the program, the 12 Acts of Spiritual Renewal, which is really about resurrecting the spirit within, and that's God's spirit. And so that's really where we really start talking about what's your concept of rebuilding, what's your concept of love and intimacy. And so that's the ninth act is about rebuilding. And so we really talk about how do you show love, how do you demonstrate it with your spouses, with your children, with your loved ones, what is that concept? And a lot of times, again, it's very distorted. Right, for a lot of men, it's food, water, and sex, right? And so we really map this out, and there's a true intimacy, what we call love buckets, where it's really diagrams what true intimacy is like. And it's, you know, how connected am I with my wife emotionally? You know, how full is that love bucket? Or how connected are we spiritually or financially? You know, or what about our roles and responsibilities that each one of us have? You know, have I left that light bulb not changed that's been out for 2 weeks? You know, am I not taking out the trash? And so through communication, you're able to understand a real level of true intimacy. And so we show these guys to show them that there's a lot of different levels of intimacy. And then you, as long as you're aware of it and you have these conversations with your spouse, with your loved ones, eventually, you get to the top of this, this exercise, and then there's sex, right? And so then there's like, okay, if all these areas in our lives are filled, or maybe we know that we need to work on certain things, then you're having a healthy, sexual, intimate relationship with your loved one, with your spouse. So that's an area there. We also address anger. issues. You know, bitterness, resentment is very toxic for a lot of men. They don't know how to deal with it, and so we really address those pieces of it and making sure that they know how to reconcile, how to resolve conflict, really own up to it, take away those pride issues that come up a lot of times. And so once we do that, the last couple of areas that we really focus on is rejoicing in the Lord and what He is and what He does for us here on earth and what's in heaven in store for us. And then finally, the 12th act, we really talk about a revival, you know, that all men are called for a purpose and plan in their lives. And how do you tap into that? How do you tap into what you believe is God's will for you in your life? And so, and that's the dessert portion of the program. So that's kind of an overview there, and I hope I wasn't too long-winded on it, but I wanted to kind of give you some highlights on some of the areas there.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. My phone was just beeping like, I needed to put it on the charger. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, we're still recording, but okay. You know what? I am loving what you're talking about because I think this is so key. So don't tell me all of it now because I know this is going to be great for tomorrow.
Good.
I'm like, wow, that's phenomenal, Alex, the work that you're doing here.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, it's interesting because even to hear, honestly, because, you know, we don't really, other than our spouses, I guess, you know, it'd be interesting to get your take on how it's perceived, you know, because it's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes and really what's happening. I mean, there's some really serious work going on. I mean, guys' lives are just being changed forever. And so it's just to even get your feedback or get your perspective, because we've been in it for so long now, for the past year, you know,
uh-huh.
So it's hard to see what it might look like on the outside. I think that's why, you know, I'm really excited to have an opportunity, a platform like this, to kind of just talk about it, you know, from an awareness standpoint on what's happening, you know, within this ministry specifically, you know, what we're able to do and the victories that we're seeing every day with guys. Guys are just battling and fighting and they're not doing it alone anymore, you know, and that's the part that's so exciting and so rewarding, and it's God's work, you know, it really, it truly is.
Absolutely. We're still recording, so, and I'm going to edit, you know, what we have here, even just this part for the audio piece, the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I was thinking, too, as you were talking, because, again, I really do get a lot of women that, you know, they go to church, but their husbands don't
yeah.
go to church.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pastor wives are in, you know, married to these, you know, pastors, but yet they're being abused, whether it's emotionally, financially, or even physically.
Yeah.
And yet, how do you get before the congregation and, you know, try to talk about God's love, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, all men know that scripture about women are to be submissive, you know, to their husbands.
Yeah.
But what does that submission truly mean? And has that been misconstrued to where it actually means where you're respecting one another? So how are you respecting your mate in your relationship? So I like to put a program together, you know, for the women, because I also hear their side where they just emasculate their husband. So it kind of dampens their spirit to even want to try. You know, if they're getting emasculated and on top of that getting nagged about going to church, it's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
What would be the point?
Yeah, no, those are all major, major issues there. And we address all of those things, even the submitting, you know, to your wife submitting to you, that whole thing and what that means. And again, it always goes back to the heart issue, because what we realize is in order to become a whole person, in order to become a whole man, a godly man, you have to dig in to really what's going on. And a lot of times, whether it's stress, anxiety, pornography, alcohol, drugs, you know, hurt from your childhood, broken relationships with your parents, divorce. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And all these wounds and all these hurts were never properly dealt with, right? And so over time, these men's hearts become ice cold and they become very hardened. And then that's what that's how further and further you get away from the Lord, because there's so much shame, there's so much guilt. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel good about it. There's this sense of worthlessness, and it just anything that anybody does, you know, it's like a time bomb. These guys will be there waiting to explode, or maybe they need to act out or masturbate, whatever it may be. And so you got to get to the root of the issue. Right. And so what we really do is we walk them through all of this. There's no way of escaping it. You know, we walk them through this path, this life that they've lived. And over time, they're able to identify areas that really, you know, that they bottled up, that they've really just, you know, shoved away, haven't dealt with it because they don't know how to deal with, and men don't like to deal with emotions and feelings and things like that. And so they need a safe place. They need a safe place to go with other men that they're not going to be judged, and they need to be in a place to say, you know what, I'm cheating on my wife, or you know what, I have a masturbation problem, or you know what, I have a drinking problem and I'm hiding it, or I'm doing whatever it may be, whatever affliction that they have. Being in a place there where they feel safe and they're not going to be judged is really the start of it all. And you're not going to get that anywhere. You're not going to get that in church. You're not going to, maybe if you go to one-on-one counseling, but you're not going to be able to relate to other men. And the thing about it is, we don't want to label any guy to be a drug addict or a sex addict, or, you know, anger management issues, whatever it may be. We don't want to label these guys. What we're really trying to say is, hey, your relationship with the Lord needs mending, and it might be broken in certain areas. But God is a forgiving God, and he can bring healing into your life if you invite him into your heart and allow him to perform surgery on your heart. And we'll be here for you, and we'll show you through his word what purity really is like, what you were talking to. Holiness for us is purity, right? And men need to be pure, and they need to be clean, they need to be honest, and they need to be real. And only when that happens, then can men really start living a fulfilling life with their spouse, their marriage, their children, work. All of those things start coming in together, because then everything starts moving. And it leads to wife submitting to your husband. The only way my wife submits to me is that she sees me every day growing to become more like Christ. Right? Every day I'm growing like Christ. So she sees a little bit more of Christ in me every day. By the time, every time conflict happens, do I talk down to her? Do I scream at her? Am I open? Am I understanding? Am I compassionate? If she sees that, then she sees a little bit of Jesus in me, right? And so really that's what we're trying to do as men. We're trying to eventually, for the rest of our lives, go through this sanctification process where we want to be more like Christ. We want to be brothers in Christ, and we want to be that example to our spouses. And then and only then will our wives ever submit. But our wives will never submit to you if, you know, she has a problem with something and you berate her, or you degrade her, or you manipulate her, or you use vulgar language or whatever it may be. So we really, you know, we tackle all of these issues. But what we're seeing is guys having breakthroughs in their marriages and their lives, not feeling that they're bonded, that there's no bondage to pornography or sexual impurities in their lives anymore, you know, addictions, things like that, that they don't have to be tied into that, because your desires just need to be aligned, you know, to the cross, and you need to go to the foot of the cross, and that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely, Alex. And what and inspiring entrepreneurs, as they're either thinking about starting a business, or they already have their business, but they're needing to put a plan in place or a safety net in place. I'm helping them write out their feasibility plan so that they can avoid costly mistakes before they launch their business, before they pitch to a VC, or even before they have to start over. But another piece of that is I take into consideration and offer them as well the leadership component, because it's more than just thinking about I have a product and service that I'm going to market and sell to in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Okay, let's think about how are you as a leader? Because most people, they could be coming from a job, coming off a job, and how to successfully make that transition. Okay, you have your product or service, and let's see if that business idea, let's vet it out. But also, let's take a deeper dive into who you are, how well do you lead, and also keep in mind that not only are you going to impact investors or customers, but we're talking about the marketplace in itself. What are you going to do to make that change? And again, let's go to the core issue of who you are. What's really the intent, the motive, behind all of this? What type of leader are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that's all about profit and you don't care about your people? And what is your relationship? How are you spiritually developed? How is your relationship with Christ? Because that is definitely key, because God does like honesty in the workplace. God does place a higher responsibility on leaders to take care of their employees, to be honest with their customers. So it's beyond that, I'm going to sell and make all this money. Let's take it deeper, let's take it further, and it starts with the person in the mirror. So I walk them through that step and how they're going to build their business to be successful, not just from a competitive standpoint, but let's take a look at this from a sustainability standpoint, to where not only are you honoring God, you're also honoring the community. You're also honoring the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I think this is phenomenal what you're doing with these brothers who are courageously stepping forward to make that decision. Hey, what I'm currently doing right now, it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What I'm currently doing, it's not working and haven't been working for a long, and I am finally accepting that truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out of that self-denial, and I'm coming into that truth, and I'm responding to God's call on my heart that I'm not in this alone. God is here to make that change in my heart, renew a right spirit within me so that I can follow him and love him.
That's right. Amen, girl. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's and also even the ones that are, you know, we give nicknames to the guys when they come in, and we have one guy who's, you know, born again Brian, because he's so wide eyed, and he'll read scripture to us during his reflection time, like a verse that's really just captivated his heart, and he's like a little kid, you know, that just opened up a present underneath the Christmas tree, just list, you know, how much that impact that word that God has given him means to him. And so you have those that are just so excited to build off of this new life that they've encountered as well. So, and you know, one thing I'll add to what you know, I love where you're going with this leadership thing. And one thing that was brought to my attention just recently, because ultimately, if you get all these things right, and you know, then it does enhance your ability to work effectively, to focus, to you know, to prioritize and do all those types of things. But even when you go back to, you know, Genesis from the very beginning, you know, think about what God did when he created man. He put Adam to work. You know, he had to tend to the garden, And that was before the fall of sin. So even before the fall of sin, before anything like that, he had to tend. We are God's workmanship, right? And so he had to tend to the garden. He had to take care of everything, and God expected that, and he honored him by taking care of that. And so I think that's the seed, and that's the root of really how we should be living our lives, you know, for God and honoring him, which you were alluding to, as far as we are his workmanship in the workplace, whatever your profession may be, you know, really having that, being honorable in everything that we do in the right way. So I love that you're doing that. I really do. I think you're onto something really big there. And especially what you talked about tying in scripture into it. Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay. The biblical principles are there for our benefit, for our guidance, to help us navigate through life with good success.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, I want to take this quick break and announce some upcoming shows that are going to be featured on Life Coach Radio Network. And we have coming up, mark my words, with Certified Life and Business Coach Marshall on May 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Betsy Norris, Hooray for Open Records. That podcast will be aired on May 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On May 25th at 8 o'clock Eastern, you will have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca podcast. So what I want to quickly go back to, Alex, for the listeners here, especially men here, brothers in Christ, here in the Florida area, for those that are listening that may feel like church is not for me, all they want is my money, I go, but on Easter and Christmas, what would you say to those men to let them know that God cares for them, that God is really there to love them, to heal them, to restore them?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and speak to them, Alex.
Yeah, you know, I would say that it goes back to what our Heavenly Father did for us. And what he did for us is he died for us. God literally died for us, for our sins and our wrongdoings and for our salvation. And through Jesus Christ, he shed his blood. And I think that's where it's at. That's the sacrifices of, you know, whatever struggles, whatever we've gone through in our lives, he gave himself up for us. And so, you know, I would just encourage men that, you know, who maybe have always believed in God, but just never really understood it, or never, and again, thought the Bible's too intimidating, or you know, not necessarily a Jesus freak, or I'm not this type of Christian. Just encourage men to take a step forward in faith, and knowing that as you take that step forward in faith, and as you invite Jesus into your life, into your heart, to say, I want to explore this, I want to try, and allow him to start to minister into your lives. Really allow him, you know, to really start doing works in your life, and you'll see that quickly. If you give that time, if you have that intimate conversation and you say, I want Jesus in my heart, I want to live, I want to learn, I want to have a relationship with you, he will bring people into your life. He will bring favor into your life. He'll bring peace. He'll mend things in your life. You'll also go through some trials and some tribulations through it. You'll go through some temptations. But as long as you're hungry for his word because of what God is, and God is love. When you tell your mother you love them, your children you love them, your spouse, your friends, God is love. And so he created that. And so just encourage men to make that connection, and to allow, you know, God's spirit to dwell within them. And I think the beautiful thing about all of this is that once your eyes are opened, and he's within you, then men start becoming fearless and they become bold. And that's really when lives really truly start changing for the better. So just bless every man out there that's being called to this radio, to this program, to just, you know, be open
Thank you, Alex. And I want to add to that as well. Men, you, as Alex mentioned, and as the scriptures are written, you are responsible for leading not only yourself but your family. God has designated you to be the head of the household, but your partner, your spouse, is also your co-partner. You can't do it alone. She is there to be your helper, your co-partner. If that relationship is broken, it doesn't have to stay broken. It can be repaired. And I'm just going to also talk to the Christian entrepreneurs. If your business is struggling and is not on par, you kind of stepped away from going to church because you've been so focused on business deals and you neglected your family where you once was there being attentive, and you keep telling yourself, when things settle down, I'll do again, I'll be there again. Well, you know, today is not always promised to us, but today can be that day where you can take a look at restoring your relationship and start looking at restoring your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting that kind of support in your church, give me a call or go to my website, www.engagetosuccess.com. Even though my website looks female-focused, I am accepting all of those who are willing to work with me, as I'm willing to work with you. We can sit down and discuss how can it be assistance to you. Start there, because it's about developing you as a whole person so you can have that satisfying life. But that first and foremost comes with your life being satisfied in Christ. Alex, would you please share with the listeners, for those who are probably in the Florida area, how they can reach you, how they can participate in the Brothers for Christ program?
Yes, go to brosinchrist.org. That's brosinchrist.org. Go to the site. We're running workshops, these two-day workshops, to get men engaged in the 12 acts of spiritual renewal, which really are the foundation pieces to kind of just hit the reset button. It's almost like, you know, going to Sunday school, but in a whole different way. And it will literally change your life, and you'll have a breakthrough in your life. And if you go there, you'll see some of the dates that we're offering for the two-day workshop series. We're in South Florida in the West Palm Beach area, so typically it'll be anybody in the South Florida market. But we're also getting ready to launch webinars as well to really do an outreach to men all across the country. And so we're going to go ahead and start launching those as well. So there's some information. There's a blog in there. There's all kinds of insight that you can get from it. Just go to it. If you're interested, want some more information, reach out to us. And we're here to we're here shepherding one another. So thank you.
Thank you, Alex. This has been a phenomenal hour about pursuing the life of holiness, about becoming a brother in Christ, making that shift to enhance your life to the next level spiritually in Christ. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm Deborah Mathis, your Energy for Success coach and radio host. I hope this has been fulfilling for you as it has been for me. Thank you for joining us and wishing you an energetic day.
Thanks. With